To acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which Transmit People powered radio. I pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Happy Trans Day of Audibility 2022. That will lead us to March 31st that marked the 13th annual International Trans Day of Visibility. Each year, we acknowledge this day and celebrate transgender and gender diverse people around the globe and their experiences and achievements. The day also creates an opportunity to reflect on the barriers and violence trans and gender diverse people face in the workspace, at school, and even broader community that still needs to be done to achieve trans justice. Hi, my name is Sasha Sidek, and tonight I'm going to bring you a story of three generations of trans immigrants. Three trans women of color will be sharing their stories of their lived experience of living as an immigrant in Australia, myself included. I present you Latoya Hug and Robin Chandler. Good evening, ladies.
Hi. How are you?
So, Latoya, we'll start with you first. Tell me your pronouns and where you're from, and so on, and who you are.
Okay, my name is Latoya Hurig, and my pronouns are she, her. I also identify as a proud Samoan whawhawhine. And so did you say where I'm from?
Yeah, where you're from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So originally born in New Zealand, background is Samoan German, brought up in Samoa till I was around about 20 and then came back to New Zealand and then to Australia.
And Robin, what about yourself?
Well, my name is Robin, and I'm from India. I moved to Melbourne about 4 years ago, and my pronouns are she, they, and I identify as a non-binary trans femme, so, like, you know, any pronouns are fine, as long as they're not, like, you know, male-oriented. And I've been studying graphic design here in Melbourne. That's why, like, that was one of the two reasons for me to move to Melbourne. One of them was, you know, I wanted to study design, and the other one was, like, I wanted to, like, you know, live my life as who I was, you know, who I was on the inside.
I feel you, sis. I think we all can relate to that as well. Yes. Did we actually imagine a better life in Australia? What do you think? Latoya, did you find what you were looking for moving here?
Well, actually, I came here by accident.
When did you come in?
Oh.
Because you're the first. There's three generations here.
Oh, so, okay. I came over in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
I was around about 25-ish. I can't remember exactly how old I was.
Yeah.
But I came over accidentally because I fell in love with someone.
Aww.
In New Zealand. Okay. We fell in love in New Zealand and he wanted to move here.
Right.
And you know how it is. You're just fluttering. You're just like, okay. So when I got here, it was only like 3 months later that he dumped me.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So it was his idea to come over here.
Yes, I was already starting to find some fame in New Zealand being one of the playgirls.
What is playgirl? Like Playboy Mansion girls?
No, honey.
Okay.
No, honey. It was, you know, like drag performance, but trans performance. So all of us, the cast was transgender.
Right.
And see, but my day it wasn't transgender, it was transsexuals, you know, so that's how we were like identified. In New Zealand, we were brought up differently. Like, so, for example, transsexual wasn't even in the picture. So I was a queen, and the gay boys were poofs.
Of course.
You know, it's all sissy bells. So, you know, that's how it was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I came over here and I was in my first nightclub and one of the ladies, one of the girls, I went up to her and said, hi, my name's Latoya. And she goes to me, hi. She goes to me, are you a trainee? And I went, training for what? And it goes, she goes, are you tranny? Are you pre-op or post-op? And I went, I don't even know. I don't work in a post office. I did not know their terms here. And next minute, she goes, oh, no, are you transsexual? I went, yes, I am. She goes, have you heard the surgery? And I was like, none of your business. But she goes, oh, well, that's what it means, pre-op or post. Yeah. And I went, oh.
Oh. Okay, so I want to go back to where you start transitioning. Oh. So, yeah, so at what age you actually know that you're a woman?
Okay, in Samoa, it's totally different because, you know, like feminine boys are part of the culture back home. That's what we call whawhawhine, which means mannerism of a woman. So no matter how butch I tried to pretend or something like that, once I spoke, they would say, oh. In Samoa, they say ola whawhawhine, which means, oh, it's a girl, you know, it's whawhawhine, which is just woman and
feminine.
Yeah, it doesn't even, it's not even a derogatory, I mean, bad name.
Yeah, of course. Whawhawhine.
Yeah. I thought it was, but it wasn't. Okay. It never was. It just says, the full meaning means mannerism of a woman.
Mm.
Yeah, and so, you know, so I was always pushed on to women's duties, you know, I was always part of the girl team, and a lucky, fortunate thing for us in Samoa, you know, like for the boys' uniform, school uniform, it's a
Oh, okay.
So I went to a Mormon school, so you have the yellow stripe on the side for the boys.
Right.
But I used to push it to the middle, so when the wind came, it looked like a
pageantry. Okay, it's like a slit.
It was a slit. So okay, yeah. So that was my way. So I never really had to deal with masculinity, even though Samoan men are brought up to go to plantation and be rugby players. It was never pushed or pressured on me. It was only when I did not understand there was a term transgender back then.
Right.
That, you know, I met a lot of whawhawhine in the city that were wearing women's clothes. Yeah. And, you know, was just like, wow, that's who I am.
Yeah.
And then we had mothers in our community where, you know, they would take us under their wing.
Like mentors?
Yeah, mentors. Yeah. And show us how to dress and how to act. Yeah. And all my mother wanted, because she didn't understand much, she just says, I don't want you to look like a clown, because if you look like a clown, people will treat you like a clown.
Yeah.
So just be yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So at what age is this?
Oh, 17.
Okay, All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice.
So I never really experienced, which I consider a male.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I can relate to this. I'll tell my story later. So, what about Robin? I mean, you're the new generation, the third generation in this show.
I feel like I'm very young.
We've been there.
Fabulous.
This story that you were telling, I was just thinking, oh my God, I wasn't even born back then. Like, I just feel too young.
Yeah.
I've known that I'm, like, you know, at least I knew I was different from a very, very young age. And, like, obviously, you know, we saw trans people in the community, but, like, it was always in a bad light.
Yeah.
Like, India,
are you talking about in India? Yeah.
In India, yes. In India. So, like, at least, like, you know, in India, like, I never saw somebody leading, like, you know, a really good life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously, people around me, they were not treating trans people with, like, you know, respect and dignity, which everyone deserves. So, like, I just learned from a very young age to just, you know, keep quiet, just shush it up, and, like, you know, don't tell anyone.
Okay, so, like, we say, like, being in a closet?
Being in a closet. Yeah, so the closet was built, like, at a very young age.
Yeah.
And at that point, I didn't know the terminology.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just knew, like, this, what body I am in.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't feel, you know, comfortable.
Mm-mm.
And, like, it's the tiniest things that people don't even think about. Like, you know, I wouldn't be, like, it's normal for boys, at least in India, it's normal for boys to be in a room and, like, you know, change their clothes and roam around, like, half naked.
Yeah.
I was never comfortable with that. I, you know, like, I don't know, there's just so many tiny things, and I thought, like, maybe, I don't know, I'm different, and blah, blah, blah. So there was also a lot of internal shame because I was scared. I was, like, you know, this kid who didn't have anyone to talk to.
Right.
And, like, even the closest friends, I was scared.
To open up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, I know a lot of trans people, even queer people, can relate to.
Oh, for sure. I've been especially in Asia, there's different culture. Of course, we all have this family bond, and we always were told not to shame the family.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like a big thing. Like, you know, what will people say?
Yeah.
Like, if you do something like that. And like, you see, you know, people around you, and they're talking about somebody else who, I don't know, you know, whatever they did. But, like, obviously they're not going to say that to their faces.
Yeah.
But behind their backs, they're completely, like, you know.
Yeah, degrading.
Degrading and, like, never really liked that, never really participated in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so I think, like, I knew, like, you know, I came around to the word transgender and, like, I was like, okay, like, this kind of feels like, you know, this word is describing, you know, what I feel like.
Yeah.
So at that point, I think I was around 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 24 now.
Okay.
So it's been 8 years.
Yeah.
And like at that point, I thought of, before that, I thought maybe I'm just gay.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe I'm just bi. Like right now, I identify as obviously non-binary, trans femme, and I'm pansexual. But at that point, I had no clue.
Of course, you are like, exploring.
Yeah.
Yeah, yourself.
And like, I could say like even like, you know, 4 years ago when I came to Melbourne, that's when I like, you know, saw other queer people. Like even before that, I told like one or two of my friends, but I didn't do anything to like, you know, live my life as like, you know, a queer person openly. So I came to Melbourne and like volunteered with Minus 18.
All right.
That was the first thing I found out about. And that's where I saw a lot of queer people. That's where I saw the queer people in, like, a different light.
Yeah.
Like, people were, you know, happy.
Okay.
I think that was the word that was stuck with me. Like, people are happy. People...
You can be you.
Yeah, you can be you. And people are not going to, you know, degrade you.
Yeah, of course.
So that's when I started, like, you know, learning more about everything, exploring more about everything.
Mm.
And, like... 2 years ago, I was like, okay, non-binary makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's been kind of the story.
I kind of follow your journey as through Instagram.
Yeah, we've been connected a long time.
A long time. And it's like, Robbie is changing. And then I did ask you, are you transitioning? And you said yes. I said, oh, congratulations. Yeah, so with me, I was born in Singapore and I grew up in Singapore and I transitioned in Singapore at the age of 16, actually. My family didn't agree with it at all because I was brought up in a Muslim household. So I'm also the first grandchild in the family too.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, in Asian culture, being a grandson, the first grandson is a big deal. So, and then I obviously disappoint everybody because I transitioned. So they didn't approve. So I had to run away from home at the age of 16. So I ran away from home. I didn't know what the consequences were going to be. I just want to have fun. I didn't have much money, but I have friends that I can rely to, sleep over their places. I think that's the best decision that I have ever made. At that time, I was still exploring my identity. I've never been a gay man before, so I only at school, after high school, straight away, I just ran away from home and transitioned. It's not easy. I mean, Singapore, they say, is a very progressive country, but it's actually not. Like, till today, we're still fighting for our trans rights. Yeah. So I was taught to adapt discrimination, assault, because we can't go to the authorities because we are not protected. So until I came here to Australia in the early 2000s, and I start to learn about my trans rights here and about my human rights here. And then I start to meet a lot of trans women here who are so inspiring, like our Mama Latoya here. She always have good story to tell. And I was like, oh my God, I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And I always, from that onwards, I get to know a lot of trans women here and they're so empowering. And then when I got into advocacy and then I learned more about self-worth and then here I am at 3CR being a feminist here. So, Latoya, I want to ask you this. How did your family take when they found out that you want to be a woman?
Can I be, look, to be honest, I shoved it in your face.
Oh, well, okay.
I just put the whole thing. I was wearing my mother's, you know, we call it those long island dresses and that sort of stuff. I was, even in high school, I was shaving my legs, you know, and plucking my eyebrows, you know. So, look, my mother was protective and sort of never encouraged me in the wrong way. But the one thing I do remember when I was around about, I'd say, seven-ish. My mother used to get together with the church people. This is before me knowing. I just knew I was in the... I always knew I was in the wrong body, but you never spoke about it. You know, I'm a child of the 60s, so, you know, that's different era. But she said in front of the church people, and I'm sure we all relate when it comes to our mothers and community in our villages or something, and, you know, the ladies sort of like... try and impress her. They go, oh, your boy is so handsome. She went, oh, this is what I remembered. She goes, oh, don't you worry, you watch when it's an adult be standing on the wharf saying, hello, sailor.
Oh.
And, you know, I sort of knew what she meant. I was like, why am I courting men and not women? But that's what she saw it. She never pushed it or, you know, but I think she just was more protective.
Yes.
More than anything. It's, well, of course, to her, it's her child, and that was it.
Yeah.
But when it came to the time when I wanted to go the way I wanted to go, she just asked me, she goes to me, I just want to know which way you want to go. Do you want to be a man that likes men? Do you want to be a woman? Or do you want to be a man that likes women? I went, mother, I plucked my eyebrows. She goes, look, all I want to do is do it properly.
Yeah.
Because it's
really supportive.
Said, you're protected here. But overseas, it's not like that.
You'd be different.
Yeah, totally different. So I think that was all her prediction. Are you taking the right path? Never told me you can't do this. You're shaming the family. My father's German. You know, so I was...
Alles klar.
And so, you know, he wanted me to go play rugby, and my mother was just going, no, what for? What's he going to do? Do you know what I mean? You know, so she knew what she knew exactly. She just, she's always been protective of a family of 14. So So it's not like I have brothers and I have sisters, so I had everything. So, you know, like it wasn't because there's a myth around in Samoa saying that, you know, the more boys you have in the family, they turn one into a girl. It's just a myth. It's just not, it's just that we accept. Look, religion is big in our culture and that comes first.
That's where I'm going to get into later. But no, you can keep talking.
I'm just saying, you know, because of that, you know, we are supposed to be going to heaven. How and all that sort of stuff. But in our culture, which is totally different from religion, we are children of Samoa. So you embrace them no matter one arm, two leg, you know what I mean, but, you know.
You know what, with me, my mom was in denial. I mean, I think my family members, like my cousins, my uncles, my aunt, they knew that I was different. And they do, sometimes they tease me, like, why are you so soft? I don't have the answer. I was a child. And then when I transitioned, I ran away from home because, you know what, I'll tell you why I ran away from home. That time when I transitioned, Spice Girls was big. Okay, I was obsessed. So I got all those platform boots, all the outfits. So sometimes when we go, I do dress up. So I get dressed like in the public toilet or maybe at a friend's place. And then when I come back, I de-drag and then I hide my Spice Girl outfits behind the cupboard, behind the wardrobe. And then when she do the cleaning in my room, she found. And then the best part is there's a photo of me wearing it. So,
oh God.
Yeah, I know. I was like, why did I even put the photos there? Because when you go back really tired, I just throw it in there. So I didn't really hide it properly. So she found it. She was disappointed. I got caned. I got grounded. And I told her, I'm not going to do this again. And then a few months' time, I did it again. I bought new clothes. And then this time, I went out with my girlfriends. And then it was late. So I de-drag. I hide my stuff in the letterbox. Because I thought, I'm going to sleep, wake up, and get the things, the clothes out. And I forgot. I overslept.
Oh, my God.
So she came back from work and then she saw the girl's clothes again and she knew it was mine. I denied. I said, no, it's not mine. There's no picture there. And it's like, no, I knew it was yours. I got caned. I got grounded again. And at that time, it's just after high school and we're waiting for our result. Usually it takes a month waiting for our results. And everyone was having fun going out. And I was like, I was grounded at home. Like, and my friend was like calling me like, let's go out. I can't. So I decided that I'm going to run away from home. Mm-hmm. So it was, I know it was like around maybe 11-ish or before midnight. So my mom already asleep. So I opened the bedroom window. I jump out. It's not that high. So I can just jump out from the bedroom window. And I have a bag full of women's clothes. Mm-hmm. And $6 in my pocket, and that's it. Yeah. And that's when I left. I never came back. But my mom was, of course, devastated, angry, actually more angry than devastated. Yeah. So she sent me all these threats, like, I'm going to go to the police, I'm going to go to the media, blah, 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 but she didn't. I just like, my God, this is my life now. I was having fun with all my trans friends. And yeah, and then we still keep in touch through our phone. At that time, it was pager. Can you imagine? It was pager. I know. She was paying the bills for my pager. So she's angry, but she still loves me. So she said that's the only way she can get in touch with me. Sometimes when we get to meet, like maybe once or twice a year, but she wants to meet me like not around the house because she don't want the neighbors to see me. Mm-hmm. I know. At that time, I was upset, but I said, like, it's okay. You know, this is part and parcel, I guess, you know, that I have to go through. But after a while, after about 5 years where I enrolled myself in college, I thought I wanted to do fashion marketing and management. That's where she can see that this is me now. I'm going to believe as a woman. I'm going to have a career as a woman. So I think she stopped fighting herself and accept me for who I am. So now we're best friends.
That's nice.
Yeah, it took a while. She used when that 5 years period, she would ask my aunt to call me. She used my grandma to call me and make me feel guilty. At the time, I have no emotion. I was young. Mm-hmm. I just like rebellious. I just want to have fun. So so that is how my mom, because she was my rock anyway from day dot. But my grandmother and my grandfather actually brought me up to the age of 7 until I moved with her. Yeah, that's my story with family members. I don't really care about the other family members. I think she stopped caring about other family members thing of me.
Yeah.
She used to lie and said I was like away or somewhere, because I went missing for actually 7 years or maybe 8 years from the family members until one day she said, I'm comfortable for you to show yourself, because I already told them that you're trans. So my aunt and uncle, everyone actually was so excited to meet me. It was a positive reaction from them. So
I think that's really good.
About yourself, Robin? Have you come out yet?
I came out to my parents, how long has it been? About 4 months ago.
Okay.
So it's very, very fresh.
Okay.
And, well, obviously they live in a small town in India.
Yeah.
And I did not expect them to be like, oh yeah, it's fine, or whatever. But, so like they're struggling.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Okay.
Like I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, you know, very patient because, like, you know, like you mentioned, like, your mom was paying for the pages.
Yeah.
Because she knew that was one way, like, you know, she can communicate with you.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's a lot of, like, you know, whatever, even if it's denial or, you know, any other emotion, it's mostly there because of, you know, like, because they're scared.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because they hate me or, you know, because your mom hated you. It's because they're scared for you.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, they know how the society works.
Mm.
So they want to kind of, like, you know, pull you back and be like, oh, no, come back. You don't need to do that. You're going to be fine. Before they, you know, finally give in and they accept the truth. So I think, like, my parents are, like, you know, they know.
Yeah.
And the most important thing was that I just wanted to tell them. Mm. And with COVID, I was like, you know, that there's never going to be a, you know,
the right
like,
time.
The right time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I told them, and now we're just, you know, working through it.
Okay.
But yeah.
Hopefully. I guess now people can get information, and there's a lot of awareness on online. Like, I think my generation and Latoya's generation, I think there's no manual book at all. Yeah. So
that, we had no visibility. You
know, yeah, no visibility, no for sure. Yeah.
There was only two views of us girls back then. So now it's more out there, you know, we are outspoken, we are
correct.
Visible. Why you never, it was never mentioned in public.
Which is like why, you know, transgender visibility is really, really important.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really important. This is why we are talking about this, because I want to see the contrast between Latoya's generation coming out, my generation when coming out, and your generation, the difference and what we have achieved throughout the years.
Yeah.
And like I said, now there's a lot of awareness. I think a lot of people understand trans people now, what the meaning of transgender. Mm-hmm. Back then, there's a lot of degrading words to be called us, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I get to experience what Latoya experienced, because my generation is not far from Latoya. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been called a lot of names.
Of course.
Yeah? And we were fine with it.
Yeah. Well, look, I think, you know, through those years, you know, you just learn to be tough. If you let it get to you, you won't, you know, succeed in your journey, you know. So that was the thing. And I think back then, we stuck together as a team. Trans always stuck together. Oh, well, you would know too. We all live together.
Yeah.
We work together. We eat together.
It's called like a sisterhood. It's a sisterhood.
Yeah.
Because at that time, there's no reach out for us. There's no transgender Victoria. There's no
and
minus 18.
Followed from another sister advice. Look, like as I remember, I told you, like for us, you know, back in, because I migrated to New Zealand to do my transition, but I had to go back and transition as a boy. Because of the time.
Right.
But then when I went to go on hormones, because of judgment due to medical doctors, our hormones were black market.
Same. So, my first was black market too, because I was underage.
We didn't know what we were taking.
Yeah. As soon as I popped that pill, I was like, oh my God, I feel like a woman.
I run to the mirror and go, are they growing?
I think I can relate to that.
Yeah.
It's first
true.
Month of starting, like you're like running up to the mirror.
Yeah,
like,
any changes?
Because I think every person hormone reaction acts differently.
Oh, differently.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, I hardly have boobs at the time. Yeah.
See, other girls.
And I was like, is this working on me or what?
Yeah, other girls will just have that hourglass figure that they would form out from the hormones.
Yeah.
Others will just have that softness and flawless face. And others, like myself, just went kaboom.
Yeah. There is. I was like, where do I go wrong? Uh-huh. But at that time, like I said, we don't have any information about hormones. We just know this hormone could work, but we don't have information of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think our doctors have information of it.
Well, you know, back then, you know, like what I know now in my, it was just turning 50, that hormones can cause blood clots. And
yes.
I was smoking all that time.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know
risky.
When I first came here in the early 2000, there is like, you can't just go any GP. Because they don't even know what estrogen is.
No, but the thing
they were questioning me, and I don't have the answer for it. It's like, this is what I've been taking in Singapore.
Yeah. And that was the thing, you know, when I came over in 1989 and I found my first doctor, and I thought, oh, it's St. Kilda. You know, sex workers in there, a lot of trans, I'll be okay. Went to my first doctor, and, you know, I must admit, I was starting to pass then. And then I asked him, he goes, oh, what can I do for you? And I went, so I'm here for some estrogen pills. And he goes to me, why are you on estrogen? You're so young. And I went, I'm transsexual. Yeah. And he goes to me, we don't serve your kind, get out.
Oh, my God.
I feel you, because I've been in that situation before, because there's this GP that I usually go to, this early 2000. And then my GP was not there anymore. So they referred me to another GP, and he's male GP. And he has no idea about estrogen. So he was Googling and everything. And then he said, like, why are you taking all this estrogen? I said, like, this is what I've been prescribed. So, and he won't prescribe me at all. Nothing. Yeah. So, and then I was just left disappointed. How dare you? I've been going to that clinic for many, many months. And then it's just unfortunate that my GP really not there anymore, and then I have to go through this guy, and then he won't prescribe me any estrogen.
Yeah,
and it's definitely like hearing both of your experiences. It's a lot easier now.
Yeah, of course, yes, babe, yes,
yeah.
I always tell the younger generation, you know, today you can walk down the road with a pink tutu and blue hair and no one will look twice. In my day, if you didn't fit in, you got a stone or a abusive verbal thing.
I still remember that that story that you said, like, you need to look proper to just get out to get milk.
Yes. Oh, and what the thing was, so we would go in a group. It could be a few of us walking into the shop, okay? You know, and that sort of stuff. Because you would just worry, am I going to get something thrown at me or am I going to be abused? You know, I started hormones late due to the black market time, you know, because you had to buy it off other girls.
Correct.
So I didn't get my first hormones till about 25, 26. So, yeah, so we were no oil painting, so the thing was, though, we had a reputation. Samoan trans do not muck around. And that's what we were lucky for. But we only came out, ventured out at night because that's when we felt more, it was just like a Superman
shield,
cloak or
shield.
A cloak, because you feel strong. You feel like, okay, you're in your dress now, you know, don't muck with me. But during the day, we were like always looking over our shoulder,
Yeah, I can relate to that because in Singapore, growing up, transitioning at a very early age, the same, all the trans women, of course, most of them that I mixed around was a lot older than me. Yeah. And they always come out only at night. And I always confused that, why?
Yeah.
Why can't we get out daytime? I'm so, at the time, I was so confident with myself. I'm just comfortable. Of course, you get people make fun of you, but I just ignore that. But I still confused why trans women only come out. And then somebody told me, no, because they look more beautiful at night. Yeah. Because we're all the doll
and
out.
And they're so safe in there.
Safe. They didn't say anything about safe,
It was just this, like this armor we had, and then we had that power. Yeah, but during the day, because, you know, flaws.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was no laser back then? There was none of that. Like, so if you if you were, you know, not gifted with a flawless face, you know, you had to pluck or some had to shave, you know, and that's just the way we had to deal with
it. It's true. And even like, we don't get discriminated only by the public. We get discriminated by our own peers.
Oh,
they will make fun of you.
Yes.
I always like to, you know, I like to stand out during the day. I like to wear makeups and they will make fun of me, like, why are you wearing full makeup? I said, like, why not? I was confused, like, makeup is for women. Why can't we wear makeup during the day? So it's always confusing. So when I move here, I can be me. I find my gender expression. I can just, I love dressing up. I like dressing up queer. So, and nobody actually make fun of me. So I just.
You look really good. I've seen your Instagram
stories. So. Thank you, darling. I've even seen, I'm like, oh.
So, but I couldn't be queer in Singapore because they were, my own peers will make fun of me.
I think that's, like, even today, that's, like, very present in the queer community. Because, like, now I'm really going to show my age, but, you know, on TikTok.
Yeah.
So
I'm on TikTok too. She's on too.
I got on TikTok.
Darling.
Today I was on the tram with her and I'm going, you know that app, TikTok.
Oh my god.
Okay, what's up with TikTok?
So, like, you know, obviously I post content and, like, I do have a little bit of, like, you know, following, and people are just kind of policing you.
Okay.
Because they're like, oh, but you don't look trans. Like, why don't you look trans? You should be doing this. And like, some people are like, oh, you're really hot for a trans person. And I'm like, that's not a compliment.
No, it is not.
It's never a compliment. Yeah. And people just don't understand. Even, like, you know, people within the community.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, like, most of the time I do not, like, hold it against anyone.
Of course.
Because, like, everyone's learning and, like, me, I'm still learning a lot.
That's a good way to go.
But yeah, like that's still very present. It's just become very modern.
Yeah, of course.
It's a bit different.
And I totally know where you're coming from, because back in the day, you know, like we used to glam up when we used to go out. We're like, we're in even like formal dresses and all that stuff.
Miss Lotaya, so you're a woman of faith. So do you think being a transgender that you are committing a sin?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I believe that we are all children of God, and God, all He actually really, the true God that we all believe in, is giving us a gift. But also, all He wants the word is to spread the word of love. But the problem is, it's man that changes the wording and then chooses to do it, to preach it in the way he thinks, you know, while the wider community will accept. Because I come from, you know, somewhere where we're full Christianity, and those days I remember being teased when it came to our Holy Communion on the end, you know, of each month.
Yeah.
And all the, they used to say, oh, we're going to have Holy Communion, you're not. So, you know, you'll never get into heaven. And I used to threat, you know, I used to think, oh, I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
When I came overseas and realized I don't have to be at church every Sunday to be a Christian, I don't need to prove to you or anyone that I believe in who I believe in, and I can still be, you know, so I've become more spiritual more than that, you know, that religious, where I belong to this church, and you know, my belief is now God has just made us in His, you know, in the way that He thinks that we should be. And then the thing is, it's just, it's us humans that judge.
Yeah.
And we put that stress on, you know, that judgment on people. It's not Him.
Yeah.
It's not Him, and I don't believe it. I've asked Him, for when I went through bad times and I had substance abuse when I was younger and all that sort of stuff, and I just asked Him for my, you know, that helping, you know, when I went through losing my place. He's there to support me. But, you know, I still have to get off my bum and do it.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
But He was the one that kept me going through.
Yeah.
And that's also why I never chose that, you know, in my time where it was, discrimination was really rough. You know, and don't get me wrong, my sisters before me had it really much harder than I did.
What about you, Robin?
Like, you know, I do not believe in, you know,
I mean, like, when growing up as a child, is your parents religious?
So my parents are.
Okay.
And, like, they still obviously are. Mm-hmm. And they try to, like, you know, obviously, like, every parent does. They wanted us to be like that too. But ever since I was a kid, I just didn't understand.
Okay.
Because there were a lot of, like, you know, rituals that just didn't seem right to me. And it's very, like, you know, like Latoya said, even if there is a, you know, word of the God.
Yeah.
This is not it. Like, people are manipulating it. Yeah. So, like, you know, the patriarchy is being served. Like, men get everything and women are like, you know, no, you're not allowed to do that. I just remember, like, one time there was this, like, special temple that everyone from our area went to. And women were not allowed in the temple.
Mm-mm.
That bugged me a lot.
Wow, okay.
I was like, why not? Yeah. And no, but like not even one single person in the entire group had like a proper answer for me.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, oh, they're just not. And I'm like, that's not an answer. That's like,
it is.
That's not an answer.
Yeah.
So,
well, like I said earlier, I was born Muslim. Mm-hmm. So I was a practice Muslim when I was young. And then I stopped practicing when I started to transition. And, you know, during Ramadan is a month of fasting before you get to celebrate Eid. It's like Christmas for the Muslim. So every Ramadan, the man in the house, the male person in the house has to pay like this sort of money for the whole family. So my father passed away when I was 3. So I'm the only, even though I already transitioned, but I still considered the male in the house. So I have to go to the mosque and pay some money for this donation. It's compulsory. It's a mandate donation for every each person. So I went there. The imam is like the priest of the mosque. It was two of them there. And I went there already like fully transitioned. So I have to pay for this. And one of them rejected me. And he didn't want to even touch my hand. So like, no, you need to go away. I was about to burst into tears. And I said, I need to do this because I'm the only male in the family because my father passed away. So the other imam saw me and he took pity on me and he actually did it for me. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he did it willingly. He just did it because out of pity. So, And then from that onward, I started to question about what is this? Like, mm-hmm. if you said Islam is, you know, is a religion of peace, why mm-hmm. did you treat me like that? Mm-hmm. So that's when, from that experience, it really scarred me. And then I started questioning, you know, from that on, I always, even though people say like, this is not right to do and this is right to do, I always mm-hmm. have questions. I'm always stay curious. It's not like I don't, I still have faith. I still believe in my religion, Islam, mm-hmm. but I always have questions. Why do you have to discriminate people? Why do you have to put hate on somebody?
Yeah, like if you know, the books, the religious books that are there, if they're saying, like, you know, everyone is equal and everyone deserves love, then why is there, like a checklist of things you need to do before you get that love?
Yeah.
Like, it should not be like that.
And then when I start to meet a lot more of the trans women who are Muslims mm-hmm. over here, and not even over here, actually, when I met some of the Muslim trans women in Malaysia, some of them even very religious, even mm-hmm. though some of them are even sex workers mm-hmm. or they already gone the whole change and everything. They mm-hmm. still pray 5 times a day because Malaysia is a Muslim country. So it's mm-hmm. part of their ritual and culture that they have to pray 5 times a day. So they didn't stop. So from that always it changed my perspective of my religion. I said, like, no, I can be trans and I can be Muslim too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if those people who want to judge me, they can F off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like it's they're not the, you know, the boss of everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially the one who are so religious, they are the most judgmental people on earth.
So they're the biggest hypocrites.
The biggest hypocrites. Sometimes I call them out on my Instagram. Yeah.
I wish I had Instagram back then because I would have called out half of them.
Write it on a piece of paper.
I can't stand those people. I've been to like a family gathering and then their friends come over. They have made me feel like I was like a dirt to them mm-hmm. when they found out that I was a trans. Because when they come into the house, they will be like happy, nice, and then after they figured out that I was trans, before mm-hmm. they leave, they even want to shake hands with me. But next time I'm going to say it to their face, like, because it does affect you, like, that kind of behavior. Yeah. Because you are so confident with yourself, you mm-hmm. really, all this self-love and everything, and then suddenly that one particular moment that happened to you, everything, like, go on to drain. Yeah. You just go back to square one. It triggered you.
No, definitely, like, even like my relatives.
Yeah.
So I haven't, like, one of my relatives lives here.
Yeah.
And like they said something pretty bad mm-hmm. behind my back and they were acting really good in front of me.
You.
So I was like, bitch. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. You can say.
Okay. So I was, bitch, I know. Like,
it's. But like, did it's you a, confront that person?
I did not.
Okay.
I stopped taking their calls.
All right. Okay.
And they, like, you know, they kept trying to get in touch with, they even, like, you know, went behind my back, called my parents. And my parents were like, why aren't you talking to them? I said, I'm not going to talk to them.
You know what? If you have a message for this person, what would it be?
Oh, fuck off. That's what it would be. Like, fuck off. Live your own life. And stop judging.
Nobody's perfect, right? But, you know, exactly. Being trans is not perfect. Being trans, this is it's us. Perfect. We are fucking perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's just, you know, like people trying to control and trying to tell you it's not.
Yeah. Why? Okay. They need to be curious.
Well, because
like,
they have the issue. It's their issue, not ours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, that's one thing I've learned to do. Is, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to have to worry about what every Tom, Dick and Harry now says or judges you for, you're letting them win. So to me now, you know, if you want to call me the letter M, call me letter M and I'll just turn around and go, and I'm fabulous. Yes. I'm fabulous.
I agree with you. You just have to you have to say it back, fight back.
At the end, it's your life and your journey, and it's no one else to tell you how
you to
be.
Live. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, you know, as a trans person, you know, I wish I had, you know, mentors or something that could have showed us the way, or you know, or you know, the sad thing was, even though we sometimes had a sisterhood, but you know, sometimes it was, you know, to a certain limit, you know, each to their own. For me now, it's been an outer in our Pacific community. It's all about making sure that person knows what their journey and help them, and just let them know that it's all going to be fabulous.
Yeah, I guess this brings back to why visibility is so important to trans people, right? So, why do you think it's so important, Latoya?
Well, it is because, you know, like, especially for those who aren't as fortunate. I was lucky because of my cultural background and my mother just being, you know, the rock in my life. So, you know, for me to be able to do it, but not everyone gets that. Not everyone gets that, then, and they don't get also the support, or it's due to culture or religion, or just you, how you want to go into the community. But this is me, as I say, you know, all us human beings, it's not about being trans or anything like that. We are given a pathway to enjoy life. And every now and then, no one's life is perfect. So every now and then you're going to go off on the wrong track. Yeah. But it's for you to correct it.
Mm.
And, you know, and then for you to embrace your journey and your path that you're going to choose. Mm-hmm. But no one's life or journey is perfect. But it's for you to make it yours.
Of course.
And just love it, embrace it, and enjoy it. Don't let negativity... I've learned through the years, you know, don't let negativity into life. Because that's your choice to let it in.
Yeah.
I don't need it anymore. That's where I've come to with my age and that, you know. And this is all through living, experiencing, and what you get to, you know, experience in life. So that's how I feel now. But always remember, when it comes to us as trans people, we are there for you, and we will always be there for you. Don't be ashamed to ask.
Yeah.
If you see another trans and say, oh, I don't want to offend her, maybe, you know, she might be not out, I don't know, just cop and go, hi, how are you, darling? You know, how are you? We're here for you.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to hear.
I think trans people need to stop thinking that another trans people are being mean. Or, of course, there is.
Of course.
But majority mean well. Yeah.
And you can choose that to remove that those mean ones from you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's just not only in the trans community. That's in the whole world. There's always going to be negative or, you know, bitter people in life. But it's for you to filter who you choose to be in your life.
Yeah.
And don't think, oh, she only hangs out with this one. That's her choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's her journey.
I agree.
Do not change her journey because you have your journey.
Yeah.
Our journey is never completed.
Yeah.
It's always a learning and living experience. Just embrace the positivity.
Yes.
I can't believe that's come out of my mouth.
And Robin, why visibility is important?
I think, like, you know, from the perspective of a tiny kid, like growing up, knowing that they're trans, but not saying anything. Like coming to Australia, I had this like newfound confidence. Yeah. And that was because I could see people like me thriving. And like, I think that visibility is really, really important, because if it wasn't for that, I don't know how long it would have taken for me to be like, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like take it day by day. And it's okay. Because there's a lot of internal shame that we still have to deal with. I'm still dealing with it to this day. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like Latoya mentioned, it's about embracing the journey.
Yeah.
And saying like, it's really, really important because of that.
Well, for me, I'm always a bit, there's rebellious Sasha in me all the time. So whenever things happen in Singapore, like being discriminated or... I feel like I want to fight back, but I couldn't, you know. The only way you can fight back is with violence. And there's a lot of my peers always fight back with violence when they're being discriminated by the public, which I'm not good at. I wish I can fight, but I can't. But the problem is there's no protection there. So I actually refuse to fear silence. So with me being my true authentic self, so being in Australia, I can be myself. I can be my true authentic self. And like both of you said, my journey hasn't ended yet. There's always more to discover. Mm-hmm. Like I said, now my dressing is more queer now. I don't care. Like going out, I will wear colored wigs. And you know what? There's always fear at that time, but no one actually make fun of you. I think maybe in 15, 20 years ago, yes, they might make fun of you. Even your peers will make fun of you. But now, no, people embrace your art, like your makeup, your hair, whatever. People embrace it. So I like that that I can actually be visible over here compared to being in Singapore.
And definitely, like, I feel like more of the new generation, like...
Yeah.
At least for the most part, they're becoming more accepting.
Yes.
And they're trying to be more supportive.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think the new generation is different. It's like they stop judging each other. They probably more of envy. Maybe that's the word, envy each other. Mm-hmm. Like somebody is looking really, really nice. They want to be... I was always like that. Like, if I see a trans woman who are so pretty, I'm not jealous of them. I just like, oh my God, I want to be that person. Yeah. At least a bit of that person. So, and moving here, I have stopped doing that. I just envy their beauty. I just... Mm-hmm. I think I'm beautiful the way I am. So, I just... Yeah, it's all about learning my self-worth and about my rights here and just embrace who I am.
Very true.
Do you have any messages for our trans siblings out there?
Just know that, you know, we are here. We are here to support, you know, each other. You know, this is trans, masculine, trans, femme, non-binary. I've had to come to terms with that new word. I never knew about it in my day. There was none of that in my day, you know.
Not my day either.
And I had the young ones that educated me because I was first going, huh?
Yeah.
But so, you know, the message out there is that, you know, look, we're here. We're always going to be here and be proud of ourselves. As I said before, you embrace who you are and, you know, just focus, you know, a lot of people worry about other people's comments and all that sort of stuff. And you've got to stop that, you know, stop that and just be yourself. As as you know, we go out sometimes together, not out to clubs. Yeah. We've retired from that. Yeah. But we go out and you just look $1 million, you know. And so, and that was my time too. At one time. But I'm just a little bit older now and I just want to be comfortable.
Of course.
I'm bigger. But, you know, it is just visibility, you know, just be yourself. Embrace your journey you're going on. It's going to be a beautiful journey.
And Robin?
I would say, like, you know, it's okay to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's okay if you feel like, you know, right now you're kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but...
I guess feel that feeling.
Feel that feeling.
Yeah.
And, like, it's okay. Just take your time, do it when you feel like it's safe for you.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Latoya said, there's a really big community out here who's, you know, always working to support other trans people. So, take it day by day.
And as for me, I just want to say to my trans sibling, you are just perfect as the way you are. We have to live without fear and in silence, and we need to be visible so the public can understand who we are.
Yes.
Yeah, so
because, like, currently the society, it's not going to just listen to us. We kind of have to shake it up and be like, bitch, listen to me.
And that's the thing, what I'm so proud of in the last, I'll say, 10 years that, you know, trans have stepped up their platform and is speaking and saying, hey, we are here. We are part of the community and we've always been here.
Always been here.
Just that now you're going to hear from us more. And we won't take any, you know, zero tolerance anymore.
Yeah, I agree, because when trans women have become more mainstream, especially with movies, music, and I just told myself, I actually told my friend that I'm so fortunate to be still living and to witness this. Yes. Marriage equality, I don't think that's going to happen ever. And that actually happened. So I always tell myself I'm always so fortunate that I get to witness this before I die. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's a lot more to do. You know, there's a long way to go. But at least we have to start somewhere.
There's always going to be more, but it's not even about, like, you know, doing like a massive chunk of work.
Yeah.
Like all over the world. Just, you know, do something tiny, help somebody, you know, even if it's one person. Yeah. it's going to create a ripple effect, and like it's going to create a massive difference. And like obviously I can only speak for myself, but like, you know, very, very thankful for the generation before me, because like, you know, after hearing about your experiences, I can't even imagine those things. And that's because, you know, your generation has done the work. So it's safer for
I
us.
Agree with you. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, it's easier for me now, like, to access anything, like, help or reach out. There's so many organizations that you can reach out to. If even, like, if you feel lonely, you can just call a number and just talk.
And that's also another thing I've seen, though, also, is our trans people of color coming to the platform. We've always been at the back, and it was time for us to also
shine. You for mentioning that. Oh my god, I'm seeing the difference now a lot more. I think a lot more late last year to coming to this year. And this is why I always keep focusing on trans women of color, women of color here, because we haven't been the focus. We haven't been on the front line before. So
we're coming up, dear love, and it's not going to change.
I mean, things need to change. And this is changes to be better, to be more inclusive. We always fight about equality. This is equal, right? And you know, my last question is, so have you found your happiness moving to Australia, Latoya?
Look, I found my happiness within myself,
you
know, which took a long time too, because, you know, like, you know, always trying to either fit in or blend in or that sort of stuff. Now, I am now, like, I, as good examples, you know how you and I discussed on the trans, you know, we were open about talking about trans topics in public. I was at that, you know, from where I started from, you would, I'd be like, you know, it's all hush, 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 you know, and I'll be whispering it. And sometimes I still have a habit of doing that, but now I'm so proud that you can do that, you know. It's something we've, why should I have been ashamed of saying, because I was just worried about
what do we have to hide?
What the other person's going to say behind me. Oh, that's, you know, because that's how it was.
Yes,
and
I remember.
And I'm so proud now you can do that. And you know how we are in public.
Hello,
darling. You know, we're really out there. Why, I was not like that back when I first started.
Yeah.
I was always worried
about
the other people and the way they were going to respond to me. Instead of just me being ourselves. Now, I don't. You have the issue. That's your issue. Mine. And I'll walk off there and just blow them a kiss.
And that's really nice.
Now we can be ourselves. We don't have to hide anymore. We don't have, because society made us hide our identity, our for who we are, and we were always very scared to tell people that we're trans.
And now I do it at the workplace. I refuse, especially when they even go like this, are you married, you got children? I go, oh darling, I'm trans woman, darling. You know, I come from,
sometimes it feels good, isn't it? Especially when you go when you go to a doctor or something that's like, are you pregnant? No.
That happened to me last week.
Especially when you go for a procedure and they X-ray, they go, are you pregnant at the moment? Oh, honey, if I get pregnant, then I will go pregnant years ago.
Sometimes I was a bit awkward at first. I was like, don't you know? But I take that as a compliment. What about you, Robin? Have you found your happiness here in Australia?
I think like, obviously, you know, it's a journey. I believe like happiness isn't a destination, it's like a journey, and like, you know, one day you're happy, the other day you're just feeling a bit sad. But overall, like, I think I've found a life for myself that I'm very proud of. I have a loving fiance that you just met,
and so beautiful,
like all of the things that I'm doing, the job that I have, the fiance that I have, you know, the way I'm living my life, I could never imagine any of those things living in India. So like, I'm very, very happy. And like, you know, like you mentioned that, you know, you were very hush-hush about those things. And like, it's more about, you know, just be focusing on your own thing. So I think I'm still kind of learning that. There's obviously a lot to learn.
Of course.
But yeah, like trying to, like, you know, take it day by day.
Yes, and as for me, of course, my life is a lot better here compared to Singapore. I have found my happy medium here, even though, you know, I don't have all the friends and family. Most of them are back there, but I found family and friends here. I made my chosen family here. And I've learned to love myself even more now. Mm-hmm. People always tell me about self-love. It's about self-care. I didn't even know what that even means.
You don't discuss those things in, you know, countries like India.
Same in Singapore.
Because they're like, fuck your self-care. Care about the society.
Exactly. Didn't even know what mental health means. But over here, we actually acknowledge what mental health is.
But expressing that you're actually, you know, not feeling that good was a sign of weakness, you know.
Correct. Because that's why I didn't even have much emotion living in Singapore. I couldn't even like cry in front of them because people would see it as a weakness. Yeah. So over here, I can feel my emotion. I can express my emotion over here, and still people will acknowledge it. Well, ladies, thank you so much. Latoya, thank you so much for coming. And Robin, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Yeah. So happy Trans Day of Visibility.
And back to you too.
You too.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.